Hi, this is What You Say in English, Season 3, Episode 11.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Frank from What You Say in English with the podcast in which I listen to you and give you my professional feedback. By the end of last year, I promised you that I would bring more episodes on the IELTS speaking test. But I think that this is also useful for any speaking test that you have to take, whether it is Cambridge exams, Trinity. I know that I don't talk about the Trinity exams. I think that a lot of the information that I provide here is transferable to the Trinity exams, but I mostly talk about the Cambridge exams because most of my classes are for those exams, but I have also taught IELTS classes as well. And today's episode is about speaking tips. Basically, common myths and how to overcome them. I'm basing my episode today on an article that was recently posted on the Cambridge official blog. I think it's a wonderful blog. I mean, if you don't follow that blog, you're wasting your time because they constantly provide a lot of useful information for pretty much everybody out there who's trying to improve on their exam skills. And I will leave the URL in the comment description of today's episode. The article was written by Q Tu Hong, and it was published last January 5th. And of course, as I'm subscribed to those blogs and a lot of more information about the exams, and I wanted to share it with you. Well, of course, I'm going to expand on the article based on my experience and knowledge. And in today's episode, we're going to do a little bit of myth busting. And trust me, this is going to be very important because I know there is a lot of information out there. There are a lot of people who are consciously or subconsciously, I don't know what to say, how to classify it, but they are probably spreading a lot of false information or misconceptions about the IELTS exam, the IELTS speaking exam. And I'm going to do a little myth busting. I will aim to debunk some of the most common misconceptions surrounding the IELTS speaking exam. So stay tuned because after the break, we're going to do some myth busting. According to the article, the first myth is a common belief that among students preparing for the test, you must use big words in order to get a high band score. And this is not true, completely not true. Let's take a listen to an example of what this might sound in an exam room.
First, let's talk about your hobbies. What do you like doing in your spare time?
I take satisfaction in deciphering books due to the reason that I can attain deviant intelligence from them.
And what do you usually read?
I derive pleasure from taking entrance into state-of-the-art virtual technology society where human beings can correlate everywhere.
Let's break it down into smaller pieces because I think it's a little bit difficult to understand what the candidate said. The candidate said, I take satisfaction in deciphering books due to the reason that I can attain deviant intelligence. This is absolutely bonkers, as they say in the UK. Obviously, the person tried very hard to impress the examiner. But the problem with using big words is that you're not using them naturally. As a teacher myself, you don't need to tell me how natural or unnatural those answers are. Some students may think that using complex or academic language is expected in the IELTS speaking exam, but this is not true, and therefore they try to force it into their responses. And this can lead to confusion most of the times and unintelligible answers, as the students may not fully understand how to use these words in context or with the appropriate style and connotations. words are very complicated to use sometimes, and if you try to use a word that you barely know or that you have an idea on how to use, my advice is do not use them, because more often than not, you will sound as if you're just trying to impress the examiner. The examiner knows what they're doing. They're experts, and they know for sure that you're just trying to impress them only for the sake of impressing them. The truth is, using big words does not guarantee a high band score. I know there are a lot of videos out there, people telling you, oh, use these words, use these expressions to impress the examiner. But you have to be careful. You have to know exactly how to use them and when to use them and the right context, because you got to keep in mind that the IELTS exam is pretty much like a job interview. You don't want to create a false impression, and you don't want to sound as if you're just trying to overachieve. No, this is not the way it works. The thing is that it's all about using words precisely, flexibly, and appropriately. In fact, it's important to mix it up with it and have a balance between common and less common vocabulary. The key is to study new words in context so that you can use them effectively in the exam. Great answers are not really the product of big words or academic vocabulary. It's all about the way you organize information. Discourse is important. So when you think about the answer, try to organize it mentally into something like a mini essay. So you begin with a brief introduction, like in which you answer the question, and then you try to expand on the information and explain why. But for the question of what do you like doing in your spare time and rephrasing the answer of the books, I would probably say that I really enjoy reading books. Why not saying reading books? It's instead of deciphering books. Books don't need to be deciphered. Of course, you can say it, but unless it's a book about coding or like really complicated language, I don't see any reason why you should decipher books. But you just say that you get a lot of satisfaction by reading books. The reason is because you love acquiring new knowledge or attaining new knowledge, not deviant intelligence, not really like that. It's just, it's basically how you organize the information and how you use vocabulary effectively. That mix between academic or really good vocabulary, like advanced vocabulary and basic vocabulary. It has to sound as natural as possible. And for the question of what do you usually read, we don't say I derive pleasure from taking entrance. No, this is not the way it works. You can just say that I really enjoy reading state-of-the-art virtual technology. That's good. That's a very good collocation. But of course, the whole answer sounded very unnatural. So my advice is think about the organization, think about it as a mini essay, and then you build up your answer based on that. And then you can add up a few things. The examiner does not need every single word to be a big word. Just if you use one or two mixed together with basic vocabulary, the examiner will know that you know how to use those words. They don't have to be all of them. They don't have to be big. So my advice is be careful. Make sure that you know how to use the words effectively and just go ahead, relax, and answer the questions. So to sum it up, don't fall into the trap of thinking that you need to use big words in the IELTS exam. Instead, focus on using language precisely, flexibly, and appropriately in order to succeed. The second myth is a belief that is unfortunately still held by many students preparing for the IELTS speaking exam, that you must have a British or American accent in order, or Australian. Sometimes they think that you must have an accent from one of the big major countries, in English-speaking countries, in order to get a high band score. Sorry, but no. This myth likely exists because many language courses and teachers use native pronunciation as a benchmark for evaluating students. Unfortunately, that's the case. I know that there are many course books in which they use a lot of British or Australian. I know that the IELTS exam has a lot of Australian English audio. And of course, they have this idea that they need to sound just like the recordings. First of all, remember that those recordings are done by professional voice actors. And normally people don't usually speak like that. Even native speakers don't usually speak like that. So this myth is actually quite damaging. It's easy to see how students might assume that they need to adopt a British or American accent in order to do well in the exam. But the truth is, accent is not an evaluation criterion in the IELTS speaking exam. There is nothing. If you download the public version of the speaking criteria, you will find nothing. The only thing is that pronunciation features a lot of things, and we normally consider, and this is also true for the Cambridge exams, there are things such as intonation. When you ask a question or when you give information, the way you go, the voice goes up and down. There's also something about sentence stress. It's word and sentence stress, because we have words that are stressed on the first, second syllable, third syllable, and things like that. And also, when we say longer sentences, we talk about prominence. Prominence is a word in that sentence that usually has the strongest emphasis. So we talk about sentence stress. Also, we talk about individual sounds that might affect communication. But that is pretty much everything. This is what the examiners will be looking for. As long as you are intelligible, any accent is acceptable. So if you're a non-native speaker of English, because I know that in the IELTS exam, also native speakers of English have to take it, depending on the situation, but they have to sometimes. As long as you are intelligible and you're a non-native speaker of English preparing for the IELTS speaking exam, do not worry about trying to adopt a British or American accent. Of course, if you want to do it for personal achievement, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. There's nothing wrong with that. You can sound as, you know, American as you want to sound or as British as you want to sound, but it's not really what the examiner will be looking for. Instead, focus on pronunciation features that will make you easy to understand. For more practical tips, if you want to know, and this is also mentioned in the article, on improving your pronunciation, there's another website. I will post this on the episode description. Be sure to check out Lucy Passmore's IELTS Speaking, Improving Pronunciation episode. She did an incredible job, and I listened to it, and it's amazing. So remember that accent is not an evaluation criterion in the IELTS speaking exam. I know that this is entrenched. It's recorded, like instilled. That's a nice word, by the way. Instilled, recorded in with fire in people's brains. But no, you don't have to sound like a native speaker of English to really get a high band score. As long as you are intelligible, any accent is acceptable. Remember that pronunciation is basically three things. It's intonation, is stress, and individual sounds. It's pretty much that. The only way in which your accent can be a problem is that you have a very strong accent from your first language that really inhibits communication. So this is basically what you have to worry about. If you mispronounce because your accent prevents you, your first language, your language one, your native language, has a strong accent that probably prevents intelligibility. I cannot say it any clearer. I always tell my students, do not worry about the accent. Do not worry about sounding like this or sounding like that. You don't have to sound like a British or American speaker. Okay. And another myth is the belief held by some students preparing for the IELTS speaking exam, meaning that you must speak with the whole truth. This is a little bit of a problem because I know that in some situations, students have a little bit of difficulty. For example, let's say that I ask a question what does your father do? We're talking about your family. And then I say, what does your father do? And the father has a very weird job to which you don't know how to explain in English. And of course, you feel the pressure of having to explain what your father does, and you don't know how to do it in English. That's a problem because it's a situation in which you will show that you will hesitate a lot, and that will be a problem. And you will lack the vocabulary. That will be a problem, of course. And the thing is that you don't have to tell the truth. You can actually say that your father is a doctor and then he works for a very famous hospital, whatever. It doesn't have to be the truth. This myth can be particularly stressful for students faced with questions. Describe an overseas trip that you like and when they have never been abroad, or like the example that I just gave you. Of course, the students, most of them will panic and think that they have to come up with a completely honest answer or else they're loose marks. No, not true. The truth is that the IELTS speaking exam is not a lie detector. It's not a lie detector test. It's simply just to evaluate your language proficiencies, how you can communicate in the language. So there's no need to be completely honest. Of course, I don't recommend lying all the time. I don't recommend it because the problem is that when you lie, you can fall into the trap of saying things that are inconsistent. Like you say one thing and then you later say completely the opposite when you said something different. So you have to be careful. You can lie a few things, but don't lie all the time. A little white lie can save you from a natural pausing and hesitation, as I said, and will allow you to focus on using language fluently and effectively. So if you're preparing for the IELTS speaking exam and you find yourself faced with a difficult situation, with a question, don't panic. It's okay to make things up and be a little creative in your response. If you're a natural storyteller, that would be good for you because you can come up with very highly inventive answers. So the key here is to use language fluently and effectively. So remember that the IELTS speaking exam is not a lie detector test. It's okay to be a little creative in your responses and make things up when faced with difficult questions. The key is to use language fluently and effectively. So where do students pick up these misconceptions about the IELTS speaking exam? I think I gave you some hints in the beginning. One of the main sources is the teachers and language courses. It's understandable. Sometimes language schools don't have people preparing, like qualified people to prepare for these exams. Unfortunately, it happens quite often. And this is something that I told you last episode. When you go to an academy, when you go to a language school, make sure that you ask the question whether the teachers are prepared and they have qualifications and they have experience. And of course, more often than not, if they don't have like really close access to the exams or they don't have enough experience, remember that, and if you're a teacher listening to this, there are places online and offline, like face-to-face, preparation that you can do if you want to improve on your teaching skills. There are courses, and actually there's a course provided by IDP Australia. IDP Australia is one of the owners of the IELTS exam, and they offer, I think there's an online course that you can take in order to understand the criteria in how to assess students, how to prepare them. There are many courses by Coursera. Coursera is a website. It's a platform, an LMS platform in which you can take courses provided by different universities. And also Future Learning has many teaching courses in which you can learn how to teach for exams or as a test taker, as a candidate, as a student preparing for the exam. You have a wide variety of places online and offline that you can take advantage of, and you can prepare and really get information from experts, people who know what the exam is like. And of course, it's another thing that it's common for teachers to use native pronunciation as a benchmark. And of course, this can lead students to believe that they must adopt a British or American accent, as I said in the previous segment, in order to do well in the exam. But another source of information is online. With so much information available on the internet, it's easy for students to come across websites or YouTube channels claiming to have the secret to a high band score. You have to take them with a pinch of salt. By the way, that's another wonderful expression, to take something with a pinch of salt. You have to be careful with the information that you get. Some of these sources may even promote the use of big words, as I said, or encourage students to lie in the exam, which can be good in some cases. One example of this is pronunciation apps. And I'm sorry, I know that apps can help you a lot. There's quite a famous app going around. It's called Elsa Speaking. And I think I've talked about it before. There's something I like about the app, and there's something I don't like about the app. I think I've been keeping the idea of doing a full episode on reviewing apps, but I don't know if it's worth my time. Honestly, I know that I don't want to discourage people from using apps, because I know that apps can be helpful sometimes, and I know that they do their job, and sometimes they help people. I understand, for example, that in the case of Elsa, reducing your accent, some people want to do it, and that's fine, if it's your goal, of course, but remember that this is not essential for exam preparation. You don't have to follow a program like this. Elsa, by the way, I did the Elsa, and it detected, like, problems in my pronunciation. Anyway, and I have a friend of mine who only speaks English, because in my case, it's understandable that it can probably detect a little tinge of Spanish pronunciation in my English, because I speak both languages pretty frequently. Both languages come and go in my head very quickly. So it's impossible not for one language to influence the other and vice versa. So it's understandable, but I've tried the app with friends, monolingual friends, who only speak English, and the app detects mistakes. And this is the problem, because they go with a standard of pronunciation, and whatever deviates, like steps away from that standard, it's a mistake. And that this is not the case. The brain works differently. And when it comes to, I think it's, they mean they want to do something great, and they want to use artificial intelligence and all that. There's a revolution with artificial intelligence going now nowadays, but I think it can do a lot of harm, especially for people who are struggling to really get, they want to get rid of the accent just because they feel that they will not be respected if they don't have a certain type of accent. So I think this can have a damaging effect. And remember, I still think that these apps can be useful for practicing individual sounds and honing pronunciation, but they can also lead students to believe that they must achieve a native-like pronunciation in order to succeed, and this is not true. Similarly, some online YouTube teachers may promote the use of these ideas as well and encourage students to really pursue ideas that are difficult to attain. It's important to be aware of these sources of misinformation and to make sure that you're getting reliable information from trusted sources, such as me. Here I am. I know it sounds a little bit conceited, but trust me, I'm doing this only for your own benefit, and I do have access to this information, first-hand information. So if you're a teacher, it's your job to help your students avoid these misconceptions and focus on natural fluent language use instead. And if you're a student, you have to be aware of this, and you have to practice your judgment, your better judgment. I know that studying on your own can be difficult, but if you decide to go on your own, there's a lot of learning that you need to do. If you don't have, basically because you don't have the money to pay a tutor or an instructor. I can understand that, but you have to be aware that there's a lot of things, that many traps you might fall into, and you have to be careful with those. So to sum up, students may pick up misconceptions about the IELTS exam from their teachers, language courses, as well as from misinformation found online, such as pronunciation apps or YouTube channels. Again, it's important to be aware of these sources and to focus on natural fluent language use instead. Now that we've addressed some of the most common misconceptions about the IELTS exam, speaking exam, let's talk about some tips for overcoming them. So for teachers, emphasize the importance of natural fluent language use rather than trying to use big words or adopt a certain accent. You have to encourage students to study new vocabulary in context so that they can use it effectively in the exam. Also, provide guidance on pronunciation features such as intonation, sentence stress, word and sentence stress, and individual sounds in order to improve intelligibility, not accent. And also help your students think creatively when faced with difficult situations rather than panicking and resorting to silence or dishonesty. You have to keep in mind if you're a teacher, you have to keep these tips in mind if you're a teacher. And for students and test takers, don't fall into the trap of thinking that you must use big words or adopt certain accents in order to do well in the exam. That's a no-no. Also, focus on using language naturally and fluently rather than trying to force in complex vocabulary or mimic a certain accent that you may not feel comfortable with. Also, practice your pronunciation. Pay particular attention to features, as I said, such as intonation, sentence stress, and individual sounds. Don't be afraid to be creative when faced with difficult questions. A little white lie can save you from unnatural pausing and hesitation. And remember that hesitations really drop your mark down. You will, if you're expecting to get an 8, for example, which is a very high score, you will not get it if you hesitate unnaturally. And yeah, basically to sum up, for teachers, emphasize on natural fluent language use and provide guidance on pronunciation. So for students and test takers, focus on language naturally and fluently, and don't be afraid to be creative. In conclusion, the IELTS exam can be quite intimidating, but it's important to avoid common misconceptions in order to succeed. Some of the most common myths include the belief that you must use big words, and I'm not going to repeat the whole thing again. I think you got the point. These misconceptions are everywhere, and you have to be watchful. You have to be careful online and offline as well. So don't let these misconceptions hold you back. Emphasize on natural language. And this is the best thing that you can do, and practice English as much as possible. And I'm sure that with these tips in mind, you'll be well on your way to a high band score in the IELTS speaking exam. And remember that I can help you with this if you want to have a practice conversation with me and be showcased in this podcast. I will be more than happy. And it's basically at no extra charge. I can do it for free. Of course, I have to do it in my time and your time, and arrange something via Zoom call, and we can have something. And then your experience can serve for other people. I can organize a mock speaking. I will not be able to give you a band score, but I will be able to say around which band scores your English may sit, maybe probably a minimum and a maximum. And I will tell you what aspects you need to improve if you're aiming at a higher band score. And this is all for free. Remember that I'm not charging anything for this. Take it from me. I have a lot of experience about this. And if you want to find, if you want to get your feedback, remember that you can contact me at podcast@languageteaching.es. And I will be more than happy to help you. So thank you very much for listening to me this time. And until next week, bye-bye.